Another week of Icy Takes with Zach. You know, glad for you to join us back this week. We do really appreciate it. Jeff on the other end, Big Dave here, myself. Jeff, you were able to get the guess what this sound is last week. Zach, are you ready to play this week's
guess what this sound is?
Yeah.
New segment on the show. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What was that?
Did you just open a beer?
What kind?
We need more specific.
Okay. What's the one you always drink for softball? Is that it?
What is it?
I forget. It's so low on my scale that I honestly forget.
Oh, my goodness. I'm now offended. Jeff was able to pinpoint this right away whenever I opened it.
I'm going to feel like an idiot when I don't.
Thinking it might be something else, but then he came in through. Clutch. Clutch, like, I'm trying to think of anyone this weekend. Let's say, the Kansas City Royals on Saturday.
Or try the Braves in New York on Saturday down to their last strike, and then they come back tied and then win it on that awesome roll for extra innings now.
I'm going to feel really stupid when I don't get this beer name, so just tell me now, and I'll make fun of myself later.
All right, it's Lucky Streak.
Lucky Streak, damn it. Okay. Yeah.
Our soon-to-be sponsor, we need to find a way to get Lucky Streak to be a sponsor.
Jeff, you came in through the clutch like the Braves on Saturday. Zach came in like the Pirates last night against the Brewers with a 4-run lead in the ninth and kind of blew that one up. So want to just kind of mosey on over top of that. I had a bye week. Nothing to report over here. So, gentlemen, I'll let you two scrap over who wants to go first about their past week or weekend.
Zach, you were on vacation. You probably have better stories than I do.
Boys, I just want to talk a little bit about vacation. It was unbelievable. I think I was drunk 3 out of 4 nights.
Attaboy.
It was honestly awesome to just kind of unplug and disconnect. And I never realized how much I used my phone and or my laptop when I actually didn't use them. I felt so disconnected from society. Just like, it was just nice to kind of get off the grid for, I would honestly say, for the first time in a few years. Like, I've taken other vacations and done other trips, but this was probably the first one where I legit like unplugged. And like, it really sucks coming back to reality. And like, I miss being at the beach and being drunk and eating nachos and, just totally not thinking about anything. But sadly,
I am glad that you were able to keep the streaks going on Snapchat. Sorry to cut you off there, but at least you were able to stay in tune with that.
Well, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. I did actually, obviously you saw I snapped you, but we actually in our group text have a system where our streaks will always be preserved because two of my buddies have my password if need be, and I have two of my other buddies' passwords. So for streaks that get up past 1,000, that's when we consider it code red and like definitely in jeopardy. So just know that regardless of if I was to even unplug or even if I probably die, the streaks will probably keep going.
I mean, are we still code yellow?
His coffin. just keeping them going. That's a trip. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I have the Pens game on in my bedroom / studio / partial game room that I'm working with at the apartment on the Big Hill. And they just got the Flyers for a trip because they're a bunch of scumbags.
Oh, I hate them.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So.
Oh, and they tripped Sid, too. That's a 4-minute penalty.
Oh, my God. I'm enraged.
Maybe 8. All right. Jeff, you got anything to report on?
No, just spent a good weekend, with a girlfriend. Baseball's back. It was awesome. The Braves took 2 out of 3. Got word on Saturday that they were going to lose 2 to the Mets and knew Dave would make fun of me if they did. As Dave would say, my boy, Marcell Ozuna, came in the clutch with his final strike and hit an opposite field jack on the Mets. And then they blow it in extras on that awesome roll that they just put a guy on second base. You don't even have to do anything. It's great. And by the way, on that roll, this is just a quick strategy thing. If you don't get that run in with no outs, like your innings screwed, right?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, if you don't score, you don't score.
You're essentially exchanging home and home in second, right? Because they're trying to preserve that run from scoring right away.
I'm trying to understand what you're trying to ask here, because I mean, if you don't score, then you don't score. Then the home team just basically can have a walk in the park, essentially.
But what I'm saying is, like, as an offense, like, what, like, if you're the away team, you want to score that run with no outs, because if not, you, like, you're going to be battling your whole way through the rest of that inning.
Yeah, or you could even do it with one out too. Kansas City did it with, they were able to score a run successfully in the 10th inning without recording an official at-bat. So with the runner on second, what they did was a sacrifice bunt, got the runner over to third, sacrifice fly, got the runner to score, so nobody on base, had a runner walk, so that doesn't count as an official at-bat, and then during the next plate appearance, the runner on first got caught stealing as the third out. So zero official at-bats, and they were still able to score the run and win the game.
Yeah, here's how the Braves did it. They got an RBI single, and then they just mowed the Mets bullpen as usual, and they drove in like three more after that. I like that way better.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it.
I think that's like that's the fun way to do it, I would think.
I'd say it is the fun way, especially if you're the team that's winning. So
right,
all right.
But to do one more thing, the actual thing I wanted to talk about though. Zach, what you were saying about unplugging, that is a real thing when you get to, like, your late 20s. I'm going to my girlfriend's cabin again this weekend for, like, a cousin's camp out that we do with her family. And yeah. There's no cell service or anything. And I know everybody's like, oh, Jeff, but the Penguins start. It's game one. It's okay. You know, we'll be all right.
But it's like, over.
There's no cell service or anything. And it's awesome, though, because you're just like, okay, I'll just bury my phone and I'm going to go do something. Like, what's my phone going to do for me here? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And like I said, I guess I kind of took it for granted and never fully did it. But yeah, I guess you're kind of handicapped in a sense where you're almost forced with no service. Mine was almost, dare I say, by will, but it was like, oh my God, this is what it's like. And it was really refreshing. So I hope you're able to get the same piece that I was able to get this past weekend.
Yeah, we went up earlier in July for just like a weekend at the cabin. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do with this. And then like halfway through the trip, I was like, this is nice. Not looking at my phone. Like, this is awesome.
I would say that if I had a snap streak with you, though, and like you didn't appoint anyone to take over, and especially if it was a high number like Dave and I's, I would probably be really pissed at you, and I would have no.
I'm sure, but I mean, I feel like you'd be more mad at me because I wouldn't care that much that it ended.
Yes, that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah, like I feel like that. It's not that the fact it ended; it's the fact that I didn't care enough to like keep it going.
Yeah, and yeah, to so me, that just shows you don't.
What Jeff's trying to say is that he's better at life than we are.
See, to me, what I heard is that Jeff doesn't want to put in any effort into our relationship if we were to have Snapchat, which, like, you know, luckily he likes his girlfriend enough, and his girlfriend doesn't really care about snap streaks, it sounds like, at least to the level that I do. So, you know, that if you date me, you date the snap streak, I guess is what I'm saying.
I gotcha. I'll keep that noted if I, you know, knock on wood, if I'd ever become single again, I'll keep that in mind.
And I was going to say, Jeff, don't ever let us snap and get to three, because then it's a streak, and then watch out, because you're just going to get, like, one every day.
Right.
Yep. That's how it goes. I mean, Zach, we're at 957, so I'm waiting for the 1,000.
I think we would have been hundreds more, but I think we lost it when I was with the Wild Things, and we had to file an appeal. Oh, I remember filing an appeal in the parking lot on lunch one day, and I was just like, that Teresa girl, God bless her, like, wouldn't reinstate us, but I was, I remember going to bat for us before.
Oh my God, like I was very upset. Trust me.
The puns are just flowing between you guys right now. You had to go to bat because you were working with the Wild Things?
Ayo. I'm getting pissed right now just thinking about it, to be honest with you. So we better change subjects.
Well, let's change subjects and go over to the NHL world. They're going to be starting games that actually count this Saturday, August 1st. And boys, what a time to be alive. I mean, right now we got baseball going on, and we'll get to that later on about this, the state of baseball, I guess. And now we have the NHL going to their hub cities. Right now, you got the Pens playing the Flyers in the exhibition game. And last time I checked, it was still 2-1 bad guys. But we'll see what happens in this exhibition game. But before we talk about any matchups or anything to deal with teams in particular, let's talk about how many tests were conducted between, I believe, July 18th through July 25th. And I don't know if someone can correct me on this because I'm pulling this from my head. Somewhere between the lines of 4,270 tests, let's go with that number, were conducted within the NHL between players. Over 800 players were tested, coaches, staff, you know, trainers, anyone dealing that's going to be in these hub cities got tested. Not a single positive test came from all of the 4,000 tests combined. So, guys, in theory, with everyone traveling to Toronto with those news, we should have zero positive tests during these hub city games and while everybody stays in the hub. That's in theory, though. But let's start off with Zach, because you haven't been here for a while. What do you take from how the NHL has dealt with this? Then these zero positive tests that come forward, how do you think it will go through once phase four begins Saturday?
I mean, honestly, I've said this probably the last four podcasts. I almost feel like I'm dreaming with the way the NHL has handled this. It's been almost the exact opposite of how I would think the NHL would handle this. They've taken all the necessary precautions, the steps. They've done it the right way by selecting hub cities. Just overall really happy with how they like have handled the whole virus situation and, you know, how they kind of reopened in phases in terms of like how they got on the ice, off ice workouts, now finally to the exhibition games, which the Penguins are currently participating in. But that said, yeah, in theory, you would go in, you know, if everyone tested negative for coronavirus. Yeah, you would think that go into the bubble, everyone's going to be good and that there would be no cases. But, I think honestly, now it's up to the clubs to keep the boys from bopping late at night and going out places. And I'm honestly not sure of, you know, what's open in Toronto. I mean, or Edmonton for that matter, in terms of like what kind of freedoms you have and if you could go out and get a beer or what the circumstances are there. But I got to imagine that the way the NHL has handled it, and I continue to be surprised daily, is that they're definitely monitoring their players and their well-being. So I'd honestly think that the cases would stay zero. I don't know enough about the virus to see how it would just crop up, but if everyone tested that is reported in the bubble doesn't have it, it bodes well for them moving forward.
The only question I have on that, though, is like, you know, what if like the virus is just like ends up like in the hub? Like you can do all you want to do the hub and keep everybody apart and everything, but like, I mean, like who, like can you just get it randomly? Because like that's where I'm kind of at. Like, what if, you know, again, knock on wood, a guy would happen to get it just like randomly, not necessarily getting in contact with anybody, but just, you know, there's so many crazy ways you can get it that like it's not necessarily because a guy goes out or there's guys hanging out, you know, late at night or anything. It might just be something as simple as they're on their way to the rink and, you know, a guy coughs on a handle on a bus or something. So I wouldn't say it should stay at zero. I will say, though, I do expect it to stay at a minimal, like, I don't know, between like 5 and 10 at the most. In their whole time in these hub cities. But, I mean, like I said, I don't expect it to be zero just because I don't think this is such an imperfect situation. But I do agree that, like, we can keep it to a minimal where if it's, like, one or two guys, you just treat it as an injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of variables that could be thrown into play when having these bubble cities, because it's not just everyone that's leaving for this city is going to be there. There's also the citizens that live in the city themselves. So you have the instance that Jeff just mentioned, dude coughs on a handle in a bus. And, you know, I don't know why they're taking public transportation, but, you know, Just throwing that out there as an instance in case someone just has to go that route, or if you're just walking on the streets and you know where to like lean on a light post or something. Anything can be put into play when it comes to this bubble and how it will be, you know, almost watched over when it comes to the NHL players themselves, because we've already seen very few problems with the NBA and players going out and, you know, hitting up the clubs whenever you're supposed to be staying within a certain boundary and you can't go outside of there. Just because you're able to sneak out doesn't mean somebody else can like catch you, or just anybody can recognize you because of the caliber type of person that you are. So with that being said, I think the NHL has, like what Zach said, has done probably the most excellent job when it comes to putting this all together and seeing how it's unfolding. It's just almost miraculous for how well they've done everything from the beginning, where phase one, where it was kind of getting the players back into their cities and getting them tested, to officially starting training camp, to doing the inter-squad scrimmages, to where the whole team's practicing with each other and against each other. And now we're at the point where, you know, we're going to have the Penguins still losing 2-1. That makes me mad. But just playing this one exhibition match to kind of get geared up against real live opponents that's going to matter after not playing for, 4 months plus now. So I think that this, of all the plans, I mean, there's really three sports that were affected by it at the time. I think the NHL is going to do it the best, and there will be some positive tests. I'm just wondering how quickly they're going to catch those positive tests. If it's a false positive, then you don't have anything to worry about if you find that out later. But it's going to be interesting to see how they go forward with finding a positive test and what they do with that player immediately. Like Jeff said, I don't see it blowing out of proportion. I think this is going to work smoothly, and I'm just excited for Saturday. I don't even know what other words to say or anything else to say other than just get me to Saturday already.
Dave, I have to apologize to you. I sighed during your kind of monologue.
Yeah, I know. I just kind of rolled over that because
that wasn't towards you. The Flyers are on a power play right now. Brian Dumoulin blocked a shot on his insole, so like he went to the bench hunched over. And it was over. Like, I just talked to my buddies about this yesterday. Like, something dumb's going to happen in this game that's going to end up, like, screwing us to play the Canadians. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need Brian Dumoulin to shut down Brandon Gallagher, because Brandon Gallagher is just not the caliber goal scorer that we need Brian Dumoulin for. But, you know, that's a top defenseman that you're losing, again, if that's a significant thing.
Right. But, yeah, I appreciated you just sighing over top of my opinion there, so I appreciate that.
Sorry, man. Live sports are back. Like, I've had a lot of emotion, like, pent up that I gotta let go.
Jeff, for the future, when Dave talks, I usually mute myself inside. Just FYI.
Mute yourself inside or on your thing?
No, mute myself inside, so that way he doesn't have to hear it, or you guys don't hear it. So when he talks, I can kind of go off, but he doesn't hear it.
Okay, yeah. I thought it would be kind of funny content, too.
That's why it always takes Zach forever to respond to a question, because he has to turn his mic back on.
Yeah, because I'm like, what the f*** is he talking about?
We really need to invest in a producer.
Well, that'd be fantastic. We can just give them the headache of dealing with us.
Yeah, so hey, if you're looking for an internship, you know, hit up at @jchris_51, @ZachMorris_82, @BigDave_52, so...
It's completely unpaid.
I mean, now we don't even have to give our Twitter names at the end now.
Yeah, there you go. Free plug.
We offer credit. That's about
it. Yeah. We're all Slippery Rock alum. I mean, the professors probably like you guys a lot better than me, but...
I'd say the professors still like you. It's just the university. So everyone above that.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as they're not in academic affairs, I think they're in good shape if they recognize
right, your name right. comes up.
So... Anything to add to no positive tests and everyone being in Toronto or Edmonton?
No, the only thing I'll add, though, is did you guys see any of the, like, the social media from the teams of the guys being in the bubble?
I've seen a little bit, but not enough to be like, I've just seen kind of what the layout looks like, but I wouldn't say individual teams and whatnot.
So yeah, the consensus I've taken is that the bubble is essentially the Little League World Series for pro athletes.
That's, I mean, that makes fair. Sense because they kind of talked about like dining options, right? Like they like,
yeah. So like, yeah, the Penguins had like, Pettersson and Hornquist were playing like Letang and Crosby in tennis. And then like they're showing like the dining area and everything. I'm like, this is the Little League World Series. I mean, they're playing in the hockey mecca of the world in Toronto. So that's like Lomity Field. Edmonton's like Volunteer Field or whatever, the B team field in Williamsport. I mean, am I wrong here? Am I thinking in my head on this?
I think your comparison's accurate. It's pretty much set up like an Olympic Village meets Little League World Series, minus awful parents and little 6-year-olds with Oakleys. But yeah.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Some kid has a ridiculous pair of sunglasses that he should not have.
Yeah, the entire team has them. They just learned how to color like last week.
That was a gift for making it that far.
Oh, screw the kids.
All right,
we're done here.
All right, let's just move on to prediction time, because that's really our favorite time when it comes to doing anything on this show. We love making predictions. I'm already regretting some of the ones I made in baseball last week.
Oh, I'm not Shane Bieber. How about 14 punch out? Suck on that one, Dave.
You could have saved that for the end, but yes, just go for it now.
No, suck on that one, Dave. That's a big one for me.
All right, so as Shane Bieber will now probably get an elbow injury after Jeff doing that, let's move on to, let's go into the each individual matchup. We'll just mention the teams, throw in very little because there's a lot of matchups to choose. There's eight, and then we're going to get eight after this round again because of four teams getting a bye in each conference. I'm logging into FanDuel just to look at these odds. Jeff, I hope you're doing the same.
Yeah, I'll be hopping on to BetRivers. Do we want to just do the qualifiers and then what would be the real first round, I guess?
I think that's easy.
Okay.
Zach, I mean, we can give you odds as well, just based off what we have here.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to wing it and go from scratch and use my heart.
Well, I mean, that's the best way to do it, I think.
I think with my heart.
All right, so I'm just going to go based off the first one that I see. Jeff, I'm sorry if that kind of throws you off here.
Yeah, it should be good.
So, first one that I see here is going to be the Arizona Coyotes versus the Nashville Predators. We got Arizona at +112 to win the series, Nashville at -136. Zach, who you got here, and a little why after that?
I am going to take Arizona in this one. I love the Coyotes, even though they don't even love themselves because they don't have a GM anymore, who just kind of quit. But, I mean, other than that, I like Arizona. Holland Kessel, baby.
I'm going to agree with Zach here. On the Rivers, you can get the Predators at -139, Coyotes at a +115 for the series. I like Arizona, too. I just never have been sold on Nashville all year, even after they fired Laviolette. I know they kind of got going there down the stretch, but I just don't see it with them. I think Pecorine is almost done in the league, to be honest with you. So I like Arizona here. I think it's a five gamer though. I think it's going to be a series.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see how Nashville can pull this one off.
Yeah, just with how, I guess you could say, how piss poor Nashville has been all year long, because, you know, Jeff was after, well, not Jeff himself, but he was basically calling for Laviolette's job, and it eventually ended in Nashville after taking them to the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. But it seems that Nashville had such high expectations going into this season, and they've just been crumbling at the opportunity to take advantage of the players that they have and the roster that they have around him, and Loviola being there at the time. It's just not their time to get over the hump. I got to agree with all you guys with Arizona on this one. You got speed with Hall and Kessel, and come on, you got Phil Kessel. Zach, you mentioned the GM quitting, and I think that's enough fight for the Coyotes to go out and Rick Ta to do one for the old Gipper for the Coyotes. So, all right, let's move on to the next one that I see here, which would be Chicago Blackhawks versus the Edmonton Oilers. Jeff, lead us off.
Oh, man, this one, I know everybody wants to take Edmonton because Draisaitl, McDavid, they got Athanasiou too. I mean, they're a quick hockey team, and they got a lot of skill. But would this not just be like a typical veteran hockey team to just shut down a bunch of young skill guys? Like, that's kind of the vibe that I get from this series, that everybody wants to pick Edmonton, but don't count out the team that their leadership has won 3 cups in the past decade. I know it's a long time ago when they won those cups. Yeah, I like Chicago again. I think this one's a 5-game series. I think the thing that makes me want to pick them a lot is I'm not sold on the goaltending for Edmonton.
Well, I mean, I'm going to flip my pick and say, well, not flip my pick. I was going to go with them in the first place. I'm going with Edmonton here because they have the MVP on that team with Leon Draisaitl. And you mentioned speed that they have there. Plus, since last time I checked, Corey Crawford was deemed unfit to play, I think, because of the virus. I haven't heard anything whether he has returned to the team. But I would say if there's no Corey Crawford, I definitely have Edmonton possibly sweeping or doing this in 4 games. But Edmonton's going to be too quick. They have their, I guess you could say, the home ice advantage, technically, being in that bubble city. I'm going to give it to Edmonton in 3 or 4.
I will break the tie and side with Dave on this one. I'm going to take Edmonton as well. Even though their goaltending also I'm not sold on, they're just going to score more goals than Chicago. That said, don't they also kind of have a home ice advantage in a sense too, being that they're in a hub city?
Is there really a home ice advantage in this stuff?
I mean, I just, from familiarity from the players and the game day, I use routine loosely, but just, you know, the comfortability of being there already. I mean, it could be seen as a small advantage, but nonetheless, one that I would still see having a little bit of an effect.
I would say in the first round, after this, I think that home ice advantage kind of goes away.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I mean, I still like Edmonton nonetheless, and that wouldn't make or break my pick, but simply saying that adds to it for me.
Real right. Quick, not to break in, Brian Dumoulin's back out for a regular shift. So
all right, let's go.
Take a like break. That. Yeah,
I'm happy.
All right, next matchup. We got the Columbus Blue Jackets at +148 odds against the Toronto Maple Leafs at -182. And I think, all right, so last year, what was it? It was Columbus that basically broke everyone's brackets, beating or sweeping the Tampa Bay Lightning and probably the most lopsided playoff matchup in NHL history. Well, not NHL history, but in a long time. If Sergei Bobrovsky can get back on the saddle, I kind of like Columbus upsetting Toronto. Toronto's just been so upsetting.
That's weird because he's in Florida now.
Oh, no.
Love you. Love you.
Oh, Zach, I had mine teed up ready to go, and you're just like, that's weird because he's in Florida.
Sorry, I had to.
No, that's fine. I deserve it. But regardless, I'm just going to go with Columbus because I think Toronto sucks this year.
That's enough reason for me. That said, I am going to pick against you and take the Leafs here. The only reason I say that is because I don't think CBJ goaltender Elvis Merzlikins can repeat the kind of performance he had in the first half. And it's going to be the same thing I gave a slight edge to with Edmonton and just having the hub ice advantage, if you want to say. But nonetheless, I just don't think CBJ is can compete with the big three against Toronto.
Yeah, I want to take Columbus here. And I'm going to have more of a reason than Sergei Bobrovsky like Dave.
Do tell.
I feel like, I mean, this is a Tortorella team from top to bottom, right? There's no real superstar here. I mean, they have Seth Jones and then Zach Werenski on the back end. But when it comes to forward-wise or talent-wise, it's a John Tortorella team. They're going to beat you up. They're going to block shots. They're going to play a real gritty style. And the Leafs haven't proven that they can play that type of hockey yet. And until they prove me wrong, I'm going to continue picking against them, against teams like this. So I got the Jackets in another hard-fought, like, five-game series where it goes back and forth. But I don't see them I don't see the Leafs beating the Jackets.
Are you telling me that Artemi Panarin's not a superstar in Columbus? I kid.
Right, someone should
wanted
tell
to throw that out there to try to redeem myself a little bit.
I applaud you.
All right. Anything else to add? I mean, I have Columbus. Zach has Toronto. Jeff has Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's move on to the next matchup where, let me pull that up again real quick. I got the Florida Panthers, which I think Sergei Bobrovsky is playing for that team now, playing against the Columbus. New York Islanders. So the Panthers at plus 100, the Islanders at minus 122. Zach, you're up now.
So honestly, this is probably the least intriguing series of all the playoffs for me, partly because I hate both these teams and I don't really care about either of these teams. That said, I like the Islanders just because I just don't really like anything that Florida's done. I don't trust Bobrovsky, and they traded Trocheck. Like, I just, that was one of their top offensive weapons, and they just got rid of him. So, maybe I still have PTSD from watching the Islanders just absolutely tear the Penguins apart last year in the first round. But I just don't really like Florida until Bobrovsky proves himself.
Yeah, I mean, when he was in Columbus and apparently went back to Columbus and now he's in Florida again. I don't like either team. I just flipped a coin. I'm going to say Islanders in four.
I'm basically in the same boat with you guys. I don't see any heavy favorite here. I don't really care about either matchup. But if I were to put money down on this, I'm picking the Islanders just because of having Barry Trotz over Joel Quenneville right now. I think at this moment, if you were to pick a coach to have like the best players on the ice and you had to pick between one of those two at this moment, I think right now it's Barry Trotz.
Okay. Bold. Cool. I like it.
It's a bold pick.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So next up on the docket, we have the Minnesota Wild versus the Vancouver Canucks. I got the Wild at plus 10 and the Canucks at minus 134. Jeff, who do you got?
I think this is a Canucks in three. If there is a team that has zero chance to win a cup in this whole tournament, I think it's the Minnesota Wild.
To save time from a reason why, I will just echo Jeff's sentiments and opinion here. This series isn't that intriguing to me, partly because I just don't think Minnesota's even a real hockey team, and I really love the young look of the Canucks. So, yeah, I'm taking that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you guys. I think the Wild made the playoffs this year. Is there anything else to say about that?
No, I don't think so.
I hope that's the last time we bring up the Minnesota Wild this year. So,
unless we're talking about Bill Guerin.
That's true.
I don't want to hear anything about the Wild.
I don't even think I want to talk about Bill Guerin because that means we're going to get a player that probably sucks from the Wild.
Are you saying Jason Zucker sucks?
No, I said a player that probably sucks. Jason Zucker, I like a lot, and I kind of like that trade a lot too. But after him, I don't think I want anybody on that team.
Never forget when I became an insider and broke that deal over the show.
That was awesome.
I feel like a champion, honestly. But let's move on before my ego gets too inflated.
I mean, everyone has their high moments. I've had mine before. I haven't had any since, so I'm glad you got to have yours.
Thank you. Oh, I'm done having them until at least 2035, so I just want to bask in that one.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if we get there, so.
Thank you.
All right, I'm gonna skip over this next one because we all know which one I'm talking about. I like to save that one for last. So let's go over to the New York Rangers versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Rangers plus 112. Hurricanes minus 136. I'm going to go ahead. As much as I really wanted to pick the Rangers, kind of upsetting in this first round, I still think Carolina, with the core that they kind of built from last year and trying to build on it a little bit this year, I think that's enough to beat the New York Rangers in this qualifying round. So give me Carolina based off what they did last year and how they were able to kind of maintain it a little bit this year.
Kev?
You want me to go? Okay. I honestly, I thought Jeff would go and then I would go after, but that's fine. I also like Carolina. It's the battle of the who won the Brady Shea trade. And Carolina did, the Rangers did straight up trade him there. So, yeah, I honestly agree. I like the core that Carolina built. I think, honestly, this has a sleeper pick to be like a really good series. I would say this might go five. But I, in the end, I do like Carolina.
Yeah, you guys are talking about the core of the Carolina Hurricanes and how great the core is that they built down there. Well, that core wasn't good enough to beat them in the regular season. Not once, not twice, but three times. They went 0-3 against the Rangers in the regular season. I like the Rangers a lot. Mika Zibanejad hit a level, and I know this is 4 months ago, and it probably shouldn't matter, but this game has a weird way of players have certain teams they play very well against. I like Zibanejad. Artemi Panarin did not lose his status of being a superstar in this league after he left Columbus, like what Dave thinks, and he's still down there. But no, he moved to the Big Apple, and he took his superstar status to the Big Apple. I like the goaltending that the Rangers have. They have a lot of options with Georgiev, Shesterkin, and oh yeah, they have King Henry, you know, possibly in a third spot. Who would have thought that in this day and age? I don't know. He just sucks against the Penguins. Easy on the King. But I like the Rangers here. I like this to be an upset. I think it's, like you guys said, it's going to be one hell of a series, I think, because I think these teams are closer than what people want to admit. But I got the Rangers in five.
All right, that's a fair assessment, I think. And I never said that Artemi Panarin wasn't a superstar. The joke was on me thinking that Panarin was still a Blue Jacket, which I knew he was not.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to let you know that he moved to New York and was still a superstar.
I appreciate you clarifying because, yeah.
Oh, yeah, anytime. I just want to make sure that people understand that I am making fun of myself. So, moving on. We have the Winnipeg Jets against the Calgary Flames. And I think this can be a fun series to watch, potentially. It's not going to be something that you're tuned in right away unless it gets like game four or game five. But I think Zach's up first. I think I went first with the Carolina Hurricanes. So what do you
think? Yeah, and I don't want to make it awkward like last time. No, I honestly agree with you. I think this has potential to be a really fun series. I do think this one goes five, and I like Calgary.
Interesting. I actually like Winnipeg here. Although I think this series could go either way as well. It's going to matter of how much scoring the Flames can get behind Connor Hellebuyck, because I mean, he had one hell of a year. I think he's up for the Vezina, is he not?
I believe he is.
So I mean, you're facing a Vezina goaltender. This might be the last run this core for Calgary gets with Goudreau, Monahan, and those guys. So I don't know. I just see this Jets team again. You got Patrick Laine, who, you know, he's a bona fide goal scorer. You got Mark Scheifele, who's one of the better two-way centers in the league. I like Winnipeg just because they're kind of like the Columbus of the West, that they can score, but, you know, their main game is kind of bang you around a little bit and kind of wear you down. So I like Winnipeg here.
Yeah, Connor Hellebuyck is a nominee for the Vezina.
Cool. And Dave, I don't mean to cut off your pick. Jeff, just to add on that, I agree with you. I'm kind of curious to see how Winnipeg does it without the whiteouts in their home arena. Just like, will that affect them? Because I remember that's one of the coolest arenas to watch a playoff game in, or at least, you know, what it looks like on TV presentation-wise. So I'm really curious, just, you know, watching them in a hub city, just playing, you know, to see how they match up of what they would usually do at home.
It's funny you bring that up too, because Calgary's almost the same way with the Sierra Red.
That's true, too.
They do the same thing. So, like, not to debunk your point, but they kind of, like, wash out, don't they?
Yeah, I would think that. I kind of forgot about the sea of red. I just know, you know, the unreal whiteouts that do go on in the numerous pictures you find when you just Google the Winnipeg Jets and their home crowd. So, right. Yeah, I think it'll be a great series, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's one that's a complete coin flip, too. It's probably right there with Carolina and New York, but yeah, I think it's a coin flip, and I wonder how desperate Calgary is going to be, because I think some seats are getting hot there in Calgary.
I mean, they are Flames, so their seats should be hot.
There it is.
I'll see myself out.
Zach's chock full of them today. So,
I'll see myself out.
I mean, I'm basically going to echo what Jeff said with Winnipeg taking it away in this one. I think they can kind of take advantage at Calgary just being on the last edge of what could have been, especially last year, and losing in that first round to Colorado. I am just going to have to go with Winnipeg. Plus, I'm a goalie guy, and for someone to be nominated for the Vezina, I think that puts you up another notch into me picking you when it comes to these series. All right, so the last one. Do I even need to read the matchup, or can we just say our pick at once on three?
Oh, I don't like this, though, but okay.
All right, Zach, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, one, two, three. The Pittsburgh Penguins.
I haven't picked
Jeff,
yet.
You seem disappointed.
I didn't pick yet.
Okay, I want to hear what Zach has to say first before I go on my rant here.
So, I'm reluctantly picking the Penguins, but I don't think it's as open and shut as everyone thinks. I think that Carey Price absolutely has the ability to steal a game. I think the Penguins can soil themselves on the power play. I know that this is just an exhibition game now, but I just watched Malkin throw an abysmal turnover right to the stick of Kevin Hayes. And I'm just saying all those factors and the goaltending, the Penguins goaltending situation is still up in the air. I think all those factors make it very hard for me to just say, oh, straight up the Penguins win this series. I think, honestly, and I hate to say this, it goes five. I have the Penguins squeaking it out, but I don't think it's going to be one of those. But I guess if they do get to the next round, I don't think it's an open and shut, like, oh, okay, a convincing win. So, I have the Penguins in five, but I think it's very close.
Dave, you want me to go here?
I mean, let me go here real quick. I just think the Penguins are going to take it away. I think the reluctancy pick is being far too shadowed by how good of a team the Penguins have been. They were falling apart right before the pandemic, and I think what really is going to save them into advancing into the playoffs is because of what had happened. With everything shutting down, they were probably able to get a little bit of a restart. And I think Mike Sullivan, what he's done with his team throughout the years, is just going to kind of crush everything that we think of a Penguins team doing, which is flopping at some of the most inopportune times. So I'm going with the Penguins here, probably four games, a possible sweep, but I feel more four games.
Yeah, I'm in the same position as Zach here. And this is how it's kind of played out in my head. It's going to go one of two ways. They either show that they're better than this team and they run away with it. And it's a three-game sweep. We move on and play one of the top four teams that don't play the qualifiers. Or game one can end where it's a 1-1 game. We're all biting our nails. And Philip Deneau shoots a shot that deflects off a stick that hits Matt Murray's shoulder, then the crossbar hits his back, and it goes in, and Montreal wins 2-1. We're chasing the series. So that's where I'm at. Maybe because the thoughts of 2010 all the way up to 2015, like those years are still very fresh in my mind. And until this era is over, I'll always have that in the back of my head where I kind of doubt the core, that small little doubt that I have. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I like the Penguins. I want them to win, but I could see this going four, and I could also see Carey Price being Superman like Yaroslav Halak in 2010 and get this going five.
I just want to thank you for using a random Canadiens player like Philip Deneau and not like, you know, Brendan Gallagher. Not that they have on.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was trying to think of one that was like way out there, and that.
Because that's exactly what'll happen if it goes that way that you're talking about. It'll absolutely be some random jabron that like Punxsutawney Phil shows up, you know, good news once every now and then, just does it for them, and it'll just be like, oh, should have seen that coming, but here we are.
Right. Yeah, here we are. And then we talk about the core, and we need to trade Gino, yada, yada. And then the last 2 years of this run, they end up winning back-to-back cups. That's probably how it's going to go.
Yeah, and one more. I just want to bring this up before I think we're kind of done with hockey talk. It's still hilarious to me that we have a team that we all root for. We have a team that has those back-to-back runs and winning the Stanley Cup. Goes into game 6 against the Washington Capitals. What was it, the third year in a row they played them, or the fourth year in a row they played them? Ended up losing that. I mean, they get swept last year, but that might have been a fluke. I don't know how that portrayed last year. And then we can still have these doubts against matchups against teams like the Canadiens with a top-tier goaltender. Maybe not this year, because he's statistically one of the worst goaltenders in the league, but still has a chance to, what you guys said, you know, steal the show and maybe take over. It's just funny to me that we still have these doubts about a team like the Penguins, where, I don't know, are we trying to cover our asses with that, or are we just that skeptical still?
Here's where I come from with what I just said there. This really rung true for me after watching the 50-year documentary of the Penguins, is that if you go through Penguin history, you have these awesome, great moments where we've had superstars, we've had, you know, cup runs, we've had Hall of Fame teams, we've had all these great moments. And to equal that just as much, we've also had those, and sorry for the lack of a better word here, but these really shitty moments too. Like, we had our first superstar, Michel Briere, great hockey player in the early days. If you talk to anyone who watched the Penguins in the 70s, Michel Briere was incredible. He was the first superstar the Penguins had. He died after his first year here. And then, you know, the Penguins get up 3-0 on the Islanders in 75. Then they blow the 3-0 series lead. And, oh, to top that, too, they went into bankruptcy that year. Okay? 93, they have what some call the best team the league ever saw. And points-wise, Mario was on a run that we'll probably never see again. And, oh, by the way, Divock Volk scores in overtime in game 7. So, like, it's kind of like one of those things where we were really high in 2016, 2017, and we're all expecting the crater to come just so for us to go all the way back up again.
To echo Jeff's point, like, they won 2 cups, and I think a lot of me still hasn't realized that yet. Like, it has not set in that the Penguins won 2 Stanley Cups back-to-back in the first time in the salary cap era. So naturally, after watching all the heartbreak and disappointment, and yes, if you watch Pittsburgh is Home and you just know anything about the Penguins, or even if you followed for a relatively, you know, large portion of your life, you know that it's pretty much based around disappointment despite some very high points. So that said, I guess I'm more guarded and I'm more protective, and I almost brace myself for the worst. So that way, when they do something like, let's say, even get out of the first round, or hell, even make it to the cup or win the cup, I'm ecstatic. I think I've learned that no expectations are the best expectations, just so I'm not heartbroken again, because I've done that to myself so many times.
You want to talk a little bit more about that, Zach?
Yeah, I'll send you a calendar invite and you can be my therapy appointment for the week.
Oh, can I join too? Because like, I feel the exact same way Zach feels.
Love it. Group therapy has now happened. If any psychiatrist would like to sponsor the show, I mean, now's your time.
So let me try to wrap this up with one more like closed-ended question here before we move on, because I kind of feel this way, especially with rooting for another team in the same city. With what we've been able to experience in our lifetime watching the Penguins, and how we're predicting how they might go about this series, does that show that we are spoiled or no?
For me, I feel like I'm very grounded as a Penguin fan, where this is a great time to be a Penguin fan. The last 15 years have been fantastic. I am prepared for when 87 and 71 are gone, that it's going to be, I don't want to use the term dark, but they're not going to be as fun as what they are now. Because I've already gone through that once when Yager, Mario, and all those guys left. Like, I'm prepared for this to go south really quickly. Having said that, though, I think that's what makes what we just witnessed in the last 3 or 4 years that much sweeter. Where, yeah, I remember going to games in 2003 where the Atlanta Thrashers were up 4-0 10 minutes into a game because Ilya Kovalchuk was the best player in the world. So, like, I remember those dark times where nobody gave a frig about this team except maybe a short, maybe 10,000 people in the Pittsburgh area. So that's where I feel like I'm not spoiled. I don't feel spoiled. I feel very lucky to be a fan of this team. But to say that I feel I'm spoiled, no. Do some people come off as spoiled? Absolutely.
I mean, I also echo those sentiments. I mean, yeah, there's teams that haven't won anything ever. And it's like, bro, just get better players and try to win. But as a Penguin fan, it's just, I feel like I've went through enough trials and tribulations. So while I come off as spoiled, it's just, I've done that walk before, and I've seen what can happen. I've seen the dark times, and I've seen the best times. And it's almost like I try to meet in the middle and say, okay, like I'm going to go into this without any expectations, because I've seen both ends of the spectrum. And it's like, you know, I feel personally by not investing and not giving my hopes super high, I can't be crushed in the end. So it's kind of like when they win, it's the best feeling in the world. And Jeff, I don't know how you feel, but I personally think the Crosby Malkin era has accomplished everything that you could ever ask for. I think one more cup would just even further solidify it. But that back-to-back run in 09, they've done what I wanted them to do. And anything after that is just icing on the cake.
I would agree with you on that, Zach. The thing that I'm kind of curious about, like, these runs, is you look back on, like, 16 and 17, and you think about the moments where you're like, okay, they're going to win the cup. Like, 2016 was very early on that, like, everybody thought, okay, yeah, they're just going to win the cup. They're just that much better than everybody else. And then, like, 17, like, you had those moments, too. Like, I would say it was more when they beat Ottawa in game 5 as handily as they did, you kind of like, we're like, okay, they're probably going to win the cup here. Like, let's get it going. So like, I think the runs, I'm not saying the runs aren't going to be fun, but I mean, it's just like, it's just one of those that, like, you just know how it's going to be as a Penguin fan. Like, by no means am I not grateful for what the core has done, but you just always want more, right?
I agree. And just to kind of show you where I was in terms of when I thought the Penguins would win the cup, you're saying the Ottawa game. I'm assuming Chris Kunitz double overtime. I'm thinking when Carl Hagelin netted the empty netter in game 6. Like, that's when I'm like, okay, now they actually have a chance to win the cup. Like, now, then I started believing. So, but no, it's been a crazy ride, and I just try to keep myself as grounded as possible because of just everything.
All right, for sure.
All right, so basically, I'm putting full confidence in the Penguins going through in this Montreal series, and then if they get ousted, then I'm going to be the one that needs therapy. All right, so that
Dave,
was nice
you need enough therapy because you're a Pirate fan. Don't kid yourself here.
Well, I know, but that's a different subject. I'm not trying to dive into that too quickly, because we'll be here for another hour, and I know that people have places to go.
Yeah, that's what we call in the business as a segue, Dave.
I was going to say, perfect segue into our next topic.
Perfect. Well, I mean, at least what I thought we were going to jump into with baseball was going to be the outbreak within the Miami Marlins, as they're in Philly, is whenever it officially started. Saturday, 4 players test positive going into the Sunday game. They still play the Sunday game. After that, 10 more players and coaches and staff test positive. So about half the team test positive for COVID-19. So they've been in quarantine at least since Sunday. Today's Tuesday. I have not heard any news that Montreal has moved, or Montreal, my God, Miami, has moved away from the hotel room that they've been staying at in Philly. There were no games yesterday between the Philadelphia Phillies and New York Yankees because it is in Philadelphia, and I think they are still trying to like fumigate that visitor's clubhouse that the Marlins took over. And there was no game between the Marlins and Orioles because Miami's still in Philly, and Baltimore, I'm assuming, didn't travel down to Florida, and good for them if they didn't travel down to Florida without the other team there. So basically what I'm getting through the timeline in my head, you know, between working and being able to check notifications on my phone, is that Washington is the next team to go into Miami, and the players voted amongst themselves to not wanting to go down to Miami and playing, which I thought, okay, if that team doesn't want to travel down there, and rightfully so because of what's happening, that should technically be a forfeit. We can have a discussion about that later. And now with one of the notifications that I have seen on my phone is that the MLB is making changes with the scheduling, and it looks like the Marlins will be off through Sunday. The Phillies won't play until Friday, and the Yankees will hit the road to take on Baltimore on Wednesday and Thursday. So, what else here? The league announced Tuesday. Additionally, the Nationals, who were supposed to be headed to Miami this weekend, will be off Friday to Sunday. So, guys, I mean, did the MLB, does it seem like they had a plan in case something like this happened, or is this kind of impossible to predict? Like, I'm trying to get a basis on how everything was handled beforehand, and now that we're having something, I guess, terrifying, it could be one word, between and with an outbreak within one team, how should this be handled? Is this being handled the right way, and what could have been done to prevent it?
So I don't want to act like I know logistics, but I think this is why the MLB needed kind of like bubble cities like the NHL is doing. I think this by far would have helped instead of the traveling, even if they are like playing their opposite division, like would have definitely been more beneficial. I definitely don't think the MLB had a plan for this, as they had to if they had a plan, they wouldn't have had to readjust three team schedules. That said,
or it's technically.
True. It's clear they weren't prepared for this, and that was, I think, one of the worries. And we kind of talked about it before, how we knew cases would still happen, and you can't stop sports just because cases happen. I hate using the word new norm, but I feel in this day and age, especially as we get through this, in quotes, cases will continue to, you know, pop up every now and again, and you can't just stop everyone's season or pause everything. But that said, I think the MLB did not see this coming, and now it's definitely showing.
Did you guys see the thing on Twitter? I think it was a beat writer for the Phillies that said that the Marlins found out Sunday morning about the positive tests, and they had a team meeting on whether they should play or not.
I remember reading that.
So my question is, like, why is that even like a team meeting up for discussion? That should be, okay, we're not playing, shut it down, right?
Yeah, or at least the players that tested positive, just get them the hell out of there.
But by then it's too late.
Late at
that point.
I don't think there's even an or there. I think it's just you shut the game down and we'll do a doubleheader somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I mean, isn't this kind of similar to what happened, like, as people like to refer to it as Rudy Gobert Day, when basically that shut down the entire sports world?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad look on baseball, but I don't think the players are taking enough of a hit as what they should be, because everybody, I mean, the league came to the players and said, we want to do a hub, and they said, no, we can't be away from our families that long.
I don't mean to bring like labor talks into this and how this discussion went, because obviously this is like players' health and safety, but It's just a further bad look for a sport that already didn't have their shit together.
Is it fair to say that maybe Rob Manfred is becoming the new Gary Bettman, for lack of a better term?
I think if anything, Bettman's looked better over the last few years, to be honest with you. Especially now that he's saved, the NHL has agreed to another CBA. I see where you're going with it, and I definitely see how he can be painted in a bad light, but I think Bettman's moved himself out of the out of that position. I mean, he may still get booed and will get booed when the cup gets handed out. Obviously not this year, but I mean, just in terms of everything, I feel like Manfred might, in fact, go down as one of the worst commissioners, especially depending on where these labor talks for future years go.
Yeah, I mean, I think this might make the labor talks even worse for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is gonna come off as both sides are just gonna point fingers at each other even more after what we had to go through trying to get them to even return back to play. You know, just now, and now they're gonna go back to the negotiating table for a new CBA, and they're gonna say. Players are going to say, well, you didn't put a plan in place in case somebody got COVID and we didn't know what to do. And then the owners are going to come back and say, well, we offered hub cities and you guys said no. So then they're even further apart than what they were, you know, a month and a half ago.
Yeah. So
naturally that'll go.
And one thing that kind of spiked my, lack of thinking brains, but one thing that spiked my thinking was when David Price, who opted out for the season, was basically yelling, saying, see, this is why that player safety wasn't being handled enough. And what Jeff said, I mean, hub cities were offered, but because of not being able to see families, that was basically a deal breaker to players. But what kind of gets it to me with David Price yelling about, this is why I opted out of the season, because there wasn't enough player safety and protection. There's been people working through this all the time throughout these last couple of months. And just because you're not protected in this doesn't mean that they are bad people, because some people just have to deal with this. And the owners who love to get a bad, or maybe not love to get a bad rap, but always do, the owners are kind of looking a little better here because of the lack of, you know, let's just say common sense with players that are going through and having to travel on the road and having to deal with possible cases and having this potentially spread. So I think what I'm trying to get at is that more of this is on the players now when it comes to all of this labor negotiations. And I understood they wanted their full pay. I get that in a prorated sense. You want to get paid for 60 games based off what you were supposed to make in 162. Or maybe I worded that wrong, but I hope you understood what I was trying to get at. That's fair. If they told you you're going to get a prorated salary, you better get all of it instead of getting 3/4 of it. But don't bitch and complain that they didn't try to protect you by putting most of you in a city and doing what the NHL and NBA has been trying to do, and you wanted to go out and travel and then or have the ability to just opt out for the season just to blame the owners later.
I mean, to bring up what you said about that they came to him with bubble cities, the NBA is actively trying to screw up the bubble system, and they still haven't.
So, we have that.
So,
I was even thinking about cities that could have been used that aren't already being used by other sports leagues, and one that came to mind would have been Atlanta. I think that would have been great for the East side, or at least having teams on that side come together in that city.
Yeah, because they have the Battery right down there. There's all kinds of hotels there. There's food. Not that it matters for entertainment or anything, but, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff around the ballpark, and they're not even in downtown Atlanta either. So that would have been a perfect one. Again, that I don't know how the virus spike has been for the metro Atlanta area or the state of Georgia, but yeah, that I didn't even think about that, Dave. And I mean, out west, I mean, you know, Colorado could be one for the Rockies. I don't know.
Seattle? No.
Come on, Dave. I take that one back. Know your origins here.
I didn't want to mention any California cities, so that was the next best one I could think of.
Gotcha. I mean,
Seattle, if you can get rid of the protesting and whatnot.
The sex block.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't see an issue, but I think, you know, just for the sake of, just to bring up the labor talks again, is now at least owners can slap that on the table and just be like, okay, yeah, this was presented. So naturally the players, I don't think it bodes well for them moving forward. So that's, the fact that bubble cities were pitched and they were like, the owners pretty much, I think they're laughing right now, despite, you know, trying to deal with this in the best way possible, that deep down they're thinking to themselves, wow, from a PR perspective, we look great. So,
I think we've been on this subject for far too long. Is there anything else we just want to bring up, NHL, MLB, before we wrap up the show?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry, so let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Just for Zach being hungry, we are going to wrap this up. So,
thank you for your service.
Let's give out our MVP of the week. And, guys, I'm just going to go first with an LVP because – and this actually kind of goes out to multiple people, or maybe just the one area that I was in on Saturday. Helped a buddy of mine move from his apartment to his new house. And then afterward, he agreed, because he likes to drink cheap beer as well, he agreed to get Lucky Streak with me. We called not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different distributors. None of them had Lucky Streak, or some of them have never even heard of it.
Yikes.
So,
wow.
The LVPs, I'm not even going to throw out names out there. The LVP, it goes out to all the beer distributors that I called who did not have Lucky Streak. And my favorite conversation was, it was one of the two that I called because my friend called the other three. And I said, hey, do you have any 30 packs of Lucky Streak? And he sounded so confused over the phone. He said, Lucky Streak? I said, yes. He's thinking about it. He said, who brews it? Like Anheuser-Busch. So it's like, oh. And then I bet that like totally threw him off at that point. And then about like 2 minutes later, as I'm not even on hold, I just hear people like whispering in the background, no, we don't have that. I'm like, it shouldn't be that hard to see if you have this or not based off the conversation we just had 2 minutes ago. But yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. The LVP are all the beer distributors in the Monroeville, Murraysville area that did not have Lucky Streak.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know what, Dave? Honestly, you're probably going to have better luck out in like your neck of the woods, like more towards the central part of the state.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be that guy, but the guy that answered the phone, probably him and I would probably get along great. What the fuck is Lucky Streak?
Yeah, I think this might be one of my first LVPs on the show.
Yeah, you're normally pretty positive.
So, all right. Now that I'm negative and the Pirates blew a 4-run lead last night in the ninth inning, who's up next?
I'll go real quick just as I'm looking at it right now. Well, obviously, beer in Virginia Beach get my MVP. And I'm also going to do, just because the NHL Public Relations put this out, I'm going to give it to Connor Sheary, who I absolutely hate, but Connor Sheary scored the NHL's first goal ever in the month of July. I'm not going to bring up the fact that Connor Sheary won two cups because he did not win any cups. The team won the cups, but just a fun little stat. And honestly, I'm just glad hockey's back. So while I hate Connor Sheary, I'm just happy to watch hockey again.
Did Phil Kessel win two cups?
He did.
I thought the team won the two cups.
Nope. Kessel's an exception.
All right, I'm glad you're
the exception, not the rule.
All right, so obviously Zach just doesn't like Connor Sheary at all.
Correct. Jeff? He probably fell down as I said that.
I think he just did, actually. I think he's pulling himself off the ice right now with 10:03 to go in the third period. My MVP of the week is just baseball is back. I'm kind of like hanging on to it as long as I possibly can. The minute that we get done with this, I'm probably going to get my iPad ready to go for some Atlanta Braves baseball at 6:40. But I literally spent the weekend watching just baseball. It didn't matter who was on. I mean, I watched the Braves all three games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But like, even we had like the Yankees on here on Thursday. We had the Pirates on at different times. So just having sports back that, like, I know who's playing, the players on the teams, and, like, what's, like, the strategy and everything. I'm so happy sports are back. For however long they last, that's a different story, but I'm just glad they're back, and I just don't have to watch any more reruns, because I think at this point I'm just done with reruns of any kind.
Except for The Office.
Except for The Office.
All right. I think one thing, just a shout out before we head out, because we didn't have enough time to even mention it. Seattle Kraken. Love what they did with the logo and the jerseys. I hope you guys agree with me as well.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Awesome. Absolutely. Yeah,
they're probably going to be one of my favorite teams just because of the logo and design and everything. Not my favorite, but we can get into that another maybe next week. So this has been the Icy Takes podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully we didn't go off the rails too much, but if we did, man, that's what we do. We already threw out the Twitter handles earlier, but we'll do it again. You can follow us personally at @big_day52.
At @ZachMorris82.
At @JChrist_51.
Like our Lord and Savior, amen. You can follow Icy Takes on that Twitter as well, at Icy Takes, ICUI Takes, all together one word. Like us on Facebook, I'm blanking here. I'm talking too much. Like us on Facebook at Zach and Jeff and Big Dave on Icy Takes, whatever it is, you'll find it. I'm trying to end the show here. This has been Icy Takes. I'm off the rails. I'm trying to end it. Goodbye. Let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on MTV.